Let's read together Psalms 20 and 21. These two Psalms of David go together as a pair. They are battle songs and were set to music and singing. We see from both titles that they were for the choir director. Psalm 20 is a psalm of prayer before the battle, and Psalm 21 is a psalm of praise after the battle. And both psalms, Psalm 20 and Psalm 21, have messianic implications. Let's begin by reading Psalm 20. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 20. As is so often the case in the Psalms, we don't know the exact occasion for this psalm, Psalm 20, and what specific battle is in view. But it may have been David's defeat of a coalition of the Ammonites and Syrians, as we'll explain later. I'm reading 2 Samuel chapter 10, beginning with verse 14. When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Abishai and entered the city. When the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered together. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in battle array against David and fought with him. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 700 charioteers and 40,000 horsemen of the Syrians. So the Syrians were afraid to help the people of Ammon anymore. From 2 Samuel chapter 10, verses 14 through 19. So anticipation of this war with the Ammonites and Syrians may have been the occasion of this Psalm of David. In any case, in the first five verses of this psalm, we hear David's loyal subjects praying for his victory over the enemy, and then we see David's response of assurance in the verses that follow. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 20. Prayer and assurance bring victory. Prayer and assurance bring victory. In verse 1 of the prayer for victory, the Lord is referred to not as the God of Abraham, but as the God of Jacob. Using the name the God of Jacob would have been very encouraging for the believers in that day, and should be for us today as well. Remember, Jacob was not Mr. Perfect by a long shot, but God was pleased to bless Jacob. The help from the sanctuary, in verse 2, of course, is help from the Lord himself, whose presence was in the sanctuary. In answering our prayers for victory, the Lord does take into account our obedience to his commands, verse 3, and the godly desires of our hearts, verse 4. In verse 5, total victory is assumed. And as a result, in verses 6 and following, David is assured of victory. God will answer from heaven and defeat the enemy. Chariots and horses are no match against the Lord. Prayer and assurance bring victory. Now, what about practical application from Psalm 20? Go with confidence in the name of the Lord. Go with confidence in the name of the Lord. Notice that the name of the Lord is mentioned 3 times in this psalm. Verse 1, may the name of the God of Jacob defend you. Verse 5, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. And verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The name of the Lord stands for the Lord himself and all of his attributes. When you pray to the Lord and have the assurance that he hears and will answer, then you can go with confidence, regardless of the outcome. This is the way our Lord went to the cross, with confidence. He was crucified and put to death, but that was not defeat. It was part of the ultimate victory. The godly remnant of restored Israel in the future will confidently put their trust in the Lord and not in the weapons of war, and God will answer with victory. What and who are you trusting in right now for your security and well-being? If you want to have your life in line with the Bible, then pray, be assured, and go with confidence in the name of the Lord. Let's continue by reading Psalm 21. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips, Selah. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him, length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him, for you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find all your enemies. Your right hand will find those who hate you. You will make them as a fiery oven in the time of your anger. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their offspring you shall destroy from the earth, and their descendants from among the sons of men. For they intended evil against you. They devised a plot which they are not able to perform. Therefore you will make them turn their back. You will make ready your arrows on your string toward their faces. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 21. We mentioned in our introduction that Psalms 20 and 21 go together, with Psalm 20 being a psalm of prayer before the battle, and Psalm 21 being a psalm of praise after the battle. Now, one reason for suggesting that the battle David was referring to here in Psalms 20 and 21 was his war with the Ammonites and Syrians comes from what we have here at the end of verse 3 in Psalm 21. You set a crown of pure gold upon his head. We know from 2 Samuel chapter 12 that when David completed his victory over the Ammonites, the beautiful crown of the Ammonite king was given to David to wear as a sign of his victory. I'm reading 2 Samuel chapter 12, beginning with verse 29. So David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah, fought against it, and took it. Then he took their king's crown from his head. Its weight was a talent of gold with precious stones, and it was set on David's head. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 29 and 30. So this event then may be what David was referring to here in verse 3 of Psalm 21. Doctrinal point for Psalm 21. Rejoicing and confidence follow victory. Rejoicing and confidence follow victory. In verses 1 through 7 of this psalm, David rejoices because his prayer and heart's desire for victory has been answered, not in his own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. Verses 1 and 2. The king shall have joy in your strength, O Lord, and in your salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You have given him his heart's desire and have not withheld the request of his lips. Selah. David's life has not only been spared, but he has been blessed with kingly splendor and majesty. Verses 3 through 6. Now David is more confident than ever in the Lord. We saw in Psalm 20 that he went into battle with confidence. Well, there's nothing like victory to give you more confidence. David is confident that he will not be shaken as he trusts in the Lord and in the Lord's loving kindness. Verse 7. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the loving kindness of the Most High, he shall not be moved. David is confident that the Lord will search out and destroy all of his enemies because they are enemies of God. verses 8 through 12. The psalm closes with praise to the Lord. Verse 13, be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your power. Rejoicing and confidence follow victory. Now, before we move to our practical application, let's not miss the prophetic implications of this psalm. We can see from certain verses of this psalm that Psalm 21 is typically messianic. That is, it goes beyond the experiences of David to those of the Messiah. Verses 4 through 6, for example, look forward to the risen and exalted Messiah. Verses 4 through 6, once again. He asked life from you, and you gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great in your salvation. Honor and majesty you have placed upon him. For you have made him most blessed forever. You have made him exceedingly glad with your presence. And verses 10 through 13 look forward to the end times when all of the Lord's enemies will be defeated and subdued, and the Lord will be exalted and praised. Now, practical application from Psalm 21. Get ready for the showdown. Get ready for the showdown. Now, I'm not talking here about the Super Bowl, but about the final showdown. In view of the coming victories of the Messiah over all enemies, get ready for the showdown. There have been showdowns between God and the enemy before, such as the confrontation between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, or the removal of 185,000 Assyrians from Jerusalem in one night. But nothing will compare with the showdown that will take place when the Lord returns. In Zechariah chapter 14 and verse 2, we read that at that time, all nations will be gathered together against Jerusalem. But then in verse 3 of Zechariah 14, we read about the return of the Lord. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Let's read more about this showdown in Revelation chapter 19, where we have the Lord's return to this earth. I'm reading Revelation chapter 19, beginning with verse 11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16. What a showdown with the enemy this will be when the Lord returns to this earth. Get ready for the showdown.